How do you believe him? How do you release your faith? It's not the only way, but the first way you will release your faith is through your spoken words. Amen. You will say, I believe I receive the word of God. That is the word of God speaking to me. I believe it. I have it now. I'm not trying to get it. I'm not going to get it. I have it now. In fact, Jesus got it for me 2,000 years ago. I don't have to get it. He got it for me. Amen. You just released your faith. Now then, like Brother Hagin, when he got a revelation of Mark 11:23, he saw in the word of God that he was healed. Okay. And then he heard in his spirit, say in his spirit. He heard in his spirit, he said, well, if you're healed, healed people don't lay around in bed all day. Now, naturally speaking, he had 5 heart diseases. Any one of them could have killed him. And he saw a revelation that he's not just waiting around for Jesus to heal him, that Jesus had in fact healed him 2,000 years ago at Calvary. And then he heard in his spirit, well, if you're healed, then healed people don't lay around in bed all day. So it started with him speaking the word, believing the word, but then it required a further action beyond words. Amen. And it said he was so weak, he said that he pulled himself up out of that bed and just drug himself around the bed, grabbing hold of each bedpost, barely making it. He said when he got around to the other side, he just fell over in the bed. Thankfully, he didn't fall on the floor. You know, but he was releasing his faith. Now, he didn't try to go down and run a marathon. A lot of people say, I'm going to prove to God I have faith. I'm going to run up and down these stairs. No, you're about to die of a heart attack. And everybody's going to say, he was believing God. No, you was being stupid. Listen, if you feel like you have to prove to God you have faith, you don't have faith. Because God already knows what you have. He's just wondering when you're going to act on it. Amen. You got to take steps. Say steps. Steps. Because we think we want to prove to God we have faith. Well, if God put this in my heart, then I'm just going to go whole hog. You know, I've heard Charles Capps say, he said, don't go whole hog when you're only half cocked. Mm-hmm. I've shot a few hogs, not very many. But you don't want to assume they're dead. You don't want to go whole hog when you're only half cocked either, boy. You don't want to find out the gun ain't working, you know, when you're up there close enough for that hog to come get you. Amen? So you don't want to go whole hog when you're only half cocked. And then just like in the book of James, where it says faith without works is dead, did you know in the Weymouth translation, it says faith without corresponding actions is dead. Say corresponding actions. See, you need more than just faith. You need actions to your faith. That's what healed anybody in the Bible who was ever healed, is their action of faith. But you need the appropriate action, not inappropriate action. I've taken many that I would be ashamed of unless now I know it can be a testimony and I can share it with you. Just stupid things I did when I knew God called me in the ministry, but my timing was off. See, I tried to have full corresponding action when I did not have full manifestation. And you cannot have full corresponding action to your faith unless you have full manifestation. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, listen. If God tells someone to do something, they need to do it. But now if you do it because they said God told them to do it, that's not revelation. And it's not going to work for you. For instance, God may tell someone who's been prayed for healing of their eyes. Maybe they had to wear thick glasses all their life. And God, you know, how do you know when to throw off your glasses and stomp on them? When you can see without them and you can't with them. Hello. Now, if God told you, though, throw out those glasses and stomp on them, and you know you heard from God, you better get to stomping. But if you're wondering, like, well, God told them to stomp on them. I wonder if he's telling me to stomp on them. Nope, he's not. Nope, he's not. How do I know when to take my glasses off? The same way you knew how when to put them on. The doctor told you to put them on. And you go drive yourself to the optical center, whatever they call them, and you say, can you please give me a free little eye test? They're not free. Well, if you believe you're healed, then you believe for prosperity too, and you pay for it. It's sure not cheap to stomp your glasses and have to get someone to drive you home. Well, I just don't understand. I was trying to show God I had faith. That's the problem. You don't have to try to show God you got faith.
That's right.
But see, when God put ministry in my heart, he told me I was called into the ministry. Are y'all listening to me? This is the biggest example I know for my life. There are other ones that I don't necessarily care to share. But but I will if it'll help you. But this is the one that's coming to my mind where I've just did stupid stuff calling it faith. And then other people that it affected their image of God because of my mistake. God told me to do this. And then 3 months later, I ain't doing that. And they're like, I thought you said God told you you was going to do that. Instead of saying, you know what, I missed it. We try to, you know, protect God's image. You need to quit worrying about protecting God's image. You need to start just humbling yourself and just say, I missed it. Yeah. But God put ministry on my heart. Listen, when God tells you something, that does not mean today. And the bigger the thing is that he tells you, the more certain I am to tell you it's not for today. Because God will speak to you big things that could not possibly happen today because it can't fit in a 24-hour day period. It's going to take 20 years for this thing to come to pass or even to get started. I know that don't make you jump and shout. But I'm in this for the long haul. I don't know about you. I mean, I believe I can receive an instruction from God and not see it, not even the blade come up out of the ground for 30 years. How about you? Because that means that there's something big growing underneath the surface. Amen?
Amen?
So I've learned the hard way. There's two ways to learn in life. Mistakes and mentors. Mistakes and mentors. Okay? Listen, you are always going to learn to some extent or another. You're going to learn from mistakes because we're just going to make them. But if you will pursue wisdom, you don't have to make as many mistakes. You know what wisdom is learning from someone else's mistakes rather than your own mistakes. All right? That doesn't mean you should be afraid to step out and afraid to make a mistake. Because listen, if you make a mistake, and you will make mistakes, God will recover you.
Yeah.
And you say, okay, God, show me where I missed it. Show me where I missed it so I don't have to make that. I'll probably make other mistakes, but I don't want to make this same one again. Listen, if you're making God don't care how many mistakes you make as long as it's not the same one. That means you're not learning nothing. That means you're not listening. That means that you're not submitted. That means you're not humble. You're just all about your way, about what you see. Your faith can call for your miracle, but your faith can't tell God how to work your miracle. But what we do is we get a word from God, a genuine word, but then we put God's workings down on the level of what we can conceive and what we can understand, and it's like totally out of God's program. Because he wants to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. So that means, yes, you got a word from the Lord, but it's not going to happen how you're thinking it's going to happen in your little pea brain. Hey, man, I'm not calling everybody a pea brain. I'm saying in comparison to God's brain, you and I both, all of us put together, we got a pea brain. Or a bunch of peas brains. Is that how you say it? Peas brains? But anyways, oh man, I'm telling you what. But God told me I was called to full-time ministry. And so I thought, I'm going to show God I have faith. I quit my job. Quote, by faith. You know what I did? I ended up having to sell my vehicle and walk for 3 months. And I became a burden on one of my uncles who I was a roommate with. I told him God told me to quit. He's like, I don't mind you quitting, but you still going to pay your part of the rent. Huh? But we all of a sudden, we want people to all sympathize with our cause. No, man, that ain't God. That's not a way to start your ministry, is being a bad witness now. I mean, come on. But for 3 months, I was behind on my rent, my portion of it, the utilities. Ended up having to sell my vehicle and walk to work, which is not a terrible thing, but when you could have had a vehicle, that's a terrible thing. When it's not a terrible thing when you're going through a situation and you just got to walk to work, but when you're going through a terrible thing because you were stupid, now that's a terrible thing. That, you know what I'm saying? There's a difference. I mean, you know, the Bible clarifies and makes the distinction between biblically poor and stupid poor. The poor that Jesus said to help were people who were in crisis and had uncontrollable circumstances happen to them in their life that put them in a bad financial situation. He was not talking about people who refuse to work. The Bible, in fact, says the man that does not work, he should not eat, you should not feed him. And I used to think, well, I won't do anything else for him, but nobody ought to go hungry. Well, Jesus said they should. Because as long as you feed someone out of the will of God, you are convincing them on the inside that they're doing the right thing. You're an accomplice to their carnality. Woo, come on. Now, I know mamas, it's the hardest on the mamas because they're our babies. But I wouldn't want to facilitate my child's disobedience and let them find some consolation in their heart that, oh, God's taking care of me. Well, you know what? Nobody took care of me when I left my job. Listen, if God tells you to do something, he's going to take care of you. It won't have to be your aunt. It won't be your uncle. It won't have to be your wife. It won't be your brother. It won't be your sister. It won't be your cousin. It'll be God. Now, God might use your aunt, your brother, your uncle, your cousin, your mama, your daddy, but you're not looking to them. You're looking to God. Amen. And so, man, I finally found another job. It wasn't as good as the one I had, but it sufficed. I mean, I was able to get another vehicle. We called it a vehicle. It ran. It was tagged, you know. And you know, I had to come to grips with the disappointment and the discouragement that, man, I miss God because I fell on my face. Well, not literally, but my son said, you did? That's an expression, though I probably have sometime or another. Let's not talk about that one. But anyways, I mean, so you just got to know that you heard from God. Amen. So where was I going with? In the book of James there where it says, James chapter 2 or something in there, where it says, faith without works is dead. The way in the translation says, faith without corresponding action is dead. You have to have appropriate action, not inappropriate action. My action was inappropriate. I tried to have full manifestation when I only, I tried to have full corresponding action when I only had partial manifestation. All right, listen, here's the way God works 9 times out of 10. He moves you out of stuff. He doesn't tell you to jump out. If you're in a job position, God's not going to most likely tell you, leave today and go into full-time ministry. Trust me, it don't work. That ministry should build and build until you're working less and less at that workplace until the ministry consumes that, and that's now all you can do. That's the way it happens with 9 out of 10 people. Very rarely will it be the other way around. And if you're doing it because you heard someone else say they did it, you're gonna fall on your face too. I'm not talking to a house full of people I believe are called in the ministry, but I'm saying the same principles apply. Amen. It could be with starting a business venture. Come on. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't, but you need to do it one step at a time. Don't go whole hog when you're only half cocked, trying to prove to God you have faith. See, I thought I could just prove to God I had faith. I'm just going to show God right now today. I believe him. I quit. I went hungry, lived off other people, sponged off other people, calling it faith. Come on. I determined my whole attitude changed. And did you know that's an area of my life I would not hit the reset button on? Now, I did pay up my rent and stuff, okay? But I would not turn that around. I would not turn that around. I would not hit the reset button on that, because I believe that there were things that God was able to instill in me, character that he was able to instill in me, humility that he was able to instill in me through, not that situation itself, but through that situation, he was able to take me to school. Amen. I mean, you need to be able to be 40 years old and let God take you to school. You ought to be 55 years old and God could still take you to school. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Let's just rejoice one more time. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you and we thank you for your word, for helping us, Lord. Thank you for helping us, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are good, Lord, and your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, did you get something out of that? Amen.